First of all, I want to share with you a quote that I read in a commentary from a professor at Columbia Theological Seminary in Atlanta. Jesus's parables are meant to get us to think critically about the world we have constructed, free us from our cultural shackles and self-deceptions, and enable us to discern more clearly how God works in the world. So Jesus' parables are not just nice stories. We say, oh, yeah, isn't that nice? They're meant to shock us. They're meant to shake up our thinking, mix up our thinking, and say, wait a minute, what did he just say? What is that about? So we're going to practice a little bit of that shaking up together and have another experience, another practice of Lectio Divina, which you've heard about several times over the last couple of months, where you read a scripture passage somewhat slowly and pay attention, open yourselves and your spirits to a word that grabs you or an image or a feeling that you notice within yourself. And so I'm going to read the passage again, and I invite you to listen and see where you see yourself, if you see yourself somewhere in this story. See what feelings arise within you as you listen, and where does it relate to anything that you may have experienced in your life? And I'm going to invite sharing. It's never required, but it will be invited. So listen again to the reading of this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, which you may remember was a denarius, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also, we might say only, received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first and the first will be last. So I wonder if anyone is willing to share where you see yourself in the story. So Valerie can imagine some resentment on the part of the person who had lived a righteous, faithful life all of their life, and at the last minute, somebody else who's lived a less righteous, let's say, life, has a deathbed conversion, and God accepts both people equally. So maybe some resentment. What else? So we can expand the question, not just where do you see yourself, but what feelings arose within you? What thoughts? Was there a word or an image that struck you? Who else is willing to share? So Selma was reflecting that she was paying attention to what struck her today differently. There are some parallels between the first workers here and the older brother, the older son in the parable of the lost, the prodigal son, feelings of resentment and feelings of, I've been here this whole time doing all this work. I should get something better. But what struck Selma this morning is the feelings of the perhaps the people who had been standing around all day and their need for a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging, a feeling of being chosen, and the importance of recognizing that. So Bob is sharing. He says he's not feeling proud to share, but that he relates a little bit this morning with the vineyard owner. And with the idea of, it's mine, and I'm going to do what I want with it. And perhaps a little bit in that, a sense of being the savior. And feeling some pride in that. So that's what struck Bob this morning. Very interesting. What else? Any else? If you'd like to share something, it doesn't have to be a complete reflection as these people have shared. If you just have a word or an image or a feeling that you would like to, that you're willing to share. So Jennifer just shared that that sometimes as a parent or as a teacher or as a leader in any context, you have the opportunity and I would say the responsibility even to make decisions that will be perceived as not fair and will receive pushback and say, well, how come you're doing that for them and you didn't do that for me? And in that role, you have to have the capacity to seek what is right, and even though it will be perceived as unfair by some people who are affected by it. So I can sit down now. Anything else? Any other thought, feeling, word, image? It's kind of an uncomfortable, as many of Jesus' parables are, and maybe all of them should be, it's uncomfortable. I imagine that if we were pressed to say, where do you resonate the most, that the many, or most, if not all of us, would say, well, the workers who were there since 6 o'clock in the morning, or at least maybe noon. But maybe not the 5 p.m. workers. And I read different commentaries on this passage, and almost each one had a different take on the story, which is another characteristic of these parables. They can be, as you all have demonstrated right now, they can be interpreted in so many different ways based on what's happening in your life, in our lives, in the world, our understanding. So the overarching sense, I think, is that the kingdom of God, remember that when Jesus said the kingdom of God is like, it's not, he's not saying God is like the landowner and you are like the, you know, the workers. This whole thing that he's describing is like the kingdom of God. And I think one of the messages of this one and all the parables is that the kingdom of God is not like the world we live in. Because the world we live in is all about, it's interesting, Jennifer said, in the real world, people, we want fairness. We want things to be fair, whether we're on whichever side of the receiving, wherever we fall, we want to be able to understand and get what we want to get what we deserve. We want other people to get what they deserve or what we think they deserve or don't deserve. And the kingdom of God is not like that. And it doesn't make sense to us because we have been trained and raised in and surrounded by this other reality all of our lives and for, you know, all of humanity. And so to understand what the kingdom of God is like takes a dramatic shift in our thinking because it doesn't make sense. One of the things to think about for this parable is the idea that everybody gets what they need. Everybody gets what they need. Like for that day, just for that day. Those workers are going to go home and they're going to need work again the next day. It's not about maybe fixing it all, making it all better, but they got what they needed for that day. Not just food, but work, maybe to work to feel, have a purpose for their day. Food to take money to pay for food for their families for that day. And maybe that's part of what the kingdom of God is about. Every week when we pray, or every time, we may do it more than once a week, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, give us this day our daily bread, just what we need for today. Maybe that's part of what the kingdom of God is about. And I was struck by the idea that God's gifts to us and care for us and sense of choosing us and calling to us, inviting us, are not dependent on us. I think that's part of what this story shows us. It has nothing to do with us. We want it to be about how hard we work and how righteous we are and how much money we give and how faithful we are and how kind and how all of that. It's not about any of that. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we've earned it, which is so hard for us to comprehend. That's what we want it to be about, because we can make sense of that. We can understand that. We can judge that in ourselves and in other people. But it's not about that. It's not about us. It's not about us. God is continually inviting, continually looking for people who have not responded, continually seeking those people, and continually saying, come on, come and be a part of this. Come and be a part of my work. God, I think, cannot not do that. God cannot not seek, not pursue, not invite, not call people back into a relationship with God, into an active partnership with God, active participation in the kingdom of God. And again, in God's kingdom, which is so different than this world that we live in, in God's kingdom, it's not about how much we do. It's not about how much we do or how long we've done it or how hard we labor, because all of those things make it about us, and it's not about us. It's about God and who God is. And God is a God of invitation, the God of generosity, and a God of abundance. There's enough for everybody. There's more than enough for everybody. So I wonder if this parable is partly to get us to think about the fact that God's reality is not like our reality. God does not operate like we operate. God's kingdom is not run the way that this world is run. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.